anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard,
normal,
or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Roger that.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. I'm Jen, and I commandeered my son's crayons to create a template for my costume, and I am an anomaly.
My name is Angela, and I was usually some kind of witch or something patriotic, and I am an anomaly.
And hello, this is Rico from Treks in Sci-Fi, and I pretty much commandeered and stole and scavenged all of my parents' Christmas lights growing up and made them into Star Trek panels, and we had no lights for our tree after that, and I'm definitely an anomaly.
Welcome to the podcast, people.
Hi.
Hey, this is our special Halloween episode. Spooky.
Rick Moyer was here. He'd have all kinds of cool sound effects.
I have lots of Halloween.
I'll have to slip some things in. Yeah, we'll have to slip some stuff in later.
Yeah, I'll put them in the on our joint folder.
Okay.
Some wind and some, I love Halloween.
Creaking doors.
Have you two? I don't remember. You know, Jen and I had been talking about doing a group show, and I was trying to think back. I mean, I've been doing kind of a Halloween type thing for Treks and Sci-Fi for quite a while each year, but have you two ever done like a Halloween show specifically?
We did Shaun of the
Dead. I'm trying to remember.
Waffle on.
Okay, Shaun of the Dead.
And I'm sure we've done something else related to Halloween, but I don't really remember because usually Con or Renfest happens during this time.
Sure.
Yeah. So we would do
we have on our episode like to do list The Lost Boys, and that was going to be one of our Halloween episodes, and we keep missing
and
it because of Con and
think
stuff.
There's another one we want to try to do with the Waffle On guys too. I think we've been talking about doing Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yes.
Well, there's so many great movies and TV to cover for Halloween too. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is about that for me though is that generally I'm a huge scaredy cat. Horror movies.
I'm kind of like that too. I'm kind of a wimp when it comes to them. I like a few of them and some of the kind of, I guess I could call them classics now, like the first Halloween movie, but the current age or current state of like horror movies don't do much for me.
I read like an article about it, about like the torture porn type stuff lately that's been going on.
Blood and guts.
The blood and guts and the intentional just shock value.
Yeah, like let's watch for 90 minutes somebody be basically, you know, tied up in a room and poked or something or whatever.
Yeah, and there's no real like intrinsic value. Like there's no value to it at all. Like there's not really any commentary. It's just gore for gore's sake.
Yeah.
I'm just not. And what's funny is that the gore itself doesn't bother me because we've talked about before how I love Quentin Tarantino. And some of that gets graphic and gruesome.
some of
the stuff that happens in his movies. And I can watch that because there's context.
Yeah, there's a story, there's characters, there's that's to me, you need a story, you need interesting characters, you need motivation to just have. Here are two people wandering through Europe backpacking and they get captured or whatever.
Exactly. Or having something thin, a thinly veiled thing where, there's some people that happen to be in the woods and they happen to run into this family full of cannibals. It's like, okay.
Yeah. How about you, Jen? I'm sure you go see the latest Saw movies and everything.
No
Jen.
Way, Jose.
Never, ever, and ever.
Me either. And those movies of the ghost ones where freaking freak me. Even the commercials, I can't watch.
Do you mean
stuff.
The ones where they're always using the home camcorders thing?
Paranormal stuff.
And they're all in green because that's how cameras somehow look at night. You know, when they're filming.
There was a clip with a baby in it, and I just couldn't handle it because at the time Aaron was a baby, and I was like, no. Can't look at this commercial. I'm not seeing this movie.
That's on Nope Avenue in never
Yeah, I think you're both feel the same way. I mean, once you have kids, you know, kids are kind of off limits to me, for little kids in movies. Yeah. Even the, you know, it was a little bit more to it than just a kid in danger, but like even the original Poltergeist. But it, for me, it's little kids and pets.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like the worst movie that I ever tried to watch was Pet Sematary. It was because
I totally have a story about Pet Sematary.
Well, let's hear it because, oh, I can't handle that movie.
Okay. So, first of all, I've always been a wuss about these kind of movies. And I don't know if it was because my parents wouldn't let me watch it or because I was already a wuss and maybe I used that as an excuse, you know? But I went to, now if you can imagine this, I was at a sixth grade girl sleepover. And there was probably about 20 of us. So picture that for a second.
That's a movie right there.
That's a movie right there. And we're all, you know, like probably the nerdiest of the girls screaming and having a party and eating pizza and everything. And so in whoever this parent was, in some sort of wisdom decided that she wanted to show us Pet Sematary or the girl wanted to watch it. Mm-hmm. And some parents do show their kids horror movies and it doesn't matter. So whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I know that like when Jim was in seventh grade, he was reading Stephen King. So I know that some people that subject matter doesn't bother them, but anyway, so we're there and we're watching this movie and of course, it's like the middle of the night and all of us are screaming and it's all, and it's the first time I've seen anything that's even remotely that scary. And it just so happened the next day I had to go to a party, like a family party. And I'm sitting on a couch kind of half asleep because I had just stayed up all night. And I had a cousin who was probably about a year and a half, little blonde kid, and I just remember him like running in real cutely and is like, Anja, you want to come play? And I was like, ah! Like that little kid, you know, it was just like too, I don't know, my sixth grade mind, I was tired and confused and I was like, oh no. The dead baby is after me. Anyway.
Especially if he comes in with a lot of dirt on him and stuff, you know, like he's been playing outside or whatever. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was like, that was something that stuck with me for a while.
That movie probably, though, I left. I couldn't watch it. I couldn't watch that.
Really? What was it for you? Now I was a little girl, so it upset me because I was young, but what was it that upset you?
Well, I'm trying to remember. I'd have to cheat and Google or IMDb. I'm trying to remember when it came out. But
wasn't there like a sister in there with like some kind of weird disease?
I believe that the movie though came out. Or my oldest son Steven, I think, was not. He was probably pretty young at that point. I'm trying to think. Uh-oh, did we get disconnected from someone?
I'm sorry. I meant to mute because I had to cough and then I accidentally disconnected.
You're still here.
I'm here.
I am. I'm here now.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Please continue.
But no, I think my oldest son was so young at the time, so I was real sensitive to anything involving a little kid. And so that was just a hard thing. And then the whole animal thing, which I think I've said a few times on the podcast that, you know, I was almost going to be a vet at one time because I just have a real soft spot for animals. And of course, both those things are involved in that movie to an extreme that it's just like, this is pretty much the last movie I should be watching. So,
yeah.
How about you, Jen? Do you have any incidents with let's say either you were talked into watching something and regretted it or gave you nightmares or
it's the reason I hate vampires and I have a hard time watching anything with vampires in it. But there was a
except the pretty ones, right? Like in the you know, I don't know if you see any of the Twilight movies.
No,
that is not a pretty vampire, but we'll talk about that later. Yeah. Jen, okay. Tell your story.
So anyway, there was like a mini series on or something, a made for television horror movie, and it was a Dracula movie. I was probably 12 and I begged my mom and dad to let me watch it. And so they're like, all right, And it was the vampire could change into a wolf. He can change into a bat, whatever. But what got me was Mina Harker, who was, I think she's the character who dies in Dracula and comes back to life as a vampire. Am I right?
Yeah.
Angela? No, Mina is
she's the one that
Winona Ryder in.
Not in that movie. I'm talking about a different one. Just in the book.
Yeah, I think she's going to be married, or I think she's intended for somebody else, but Dracula kind of, you know, enthralls her or whatever.
Well, there are two girls. There are two women in Dracula. One of them ends up dying, and her fiance has to kill her with a stake. Mm-hmm. So anyway, this character, her father has to dig up her coffin to stake her. So he's digging her up, and when he opens the coffin, it's empty.
Oh.
And there's a hole in the side of the coffin where she clawed her way through the coffin and burrowed like this hole. Like she made this cavern or burrowed into a cavern.
Okay.
And he crawls into it, into the cavern, and is confronted by her at one point, and her face is like peeling off and stuff. And she's like, Papa. And oh my God, I couldn't handle anymore. My parents sent me to bed because I was freaking out and I could not sleep. And I adopted a way of sleeping at night. But it's instinctual. Back then it was for protection.
Like under the covers
I would sleep on my side with my wrist and my forearm over my neck. So if something tried to get me, I could feel them coming after me. And what made it worse is
that Jen forever has worn these, you know, high neck sweaters always at certain times of the year. Yeah.
So no. And I've seen like Interview with a Vampire since then, you know, I've grown up since then. They still kind of freak me out. But back then I was sure something was coming through my window. I couldn't sleep for like a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like my parents would come in to check on me and I'd be sitting up staring out the window. So, yeah, big chicken.
I never had a problem with vampires, and I'm not sure why. Like, I remember seeing stuff vampire-related that was scary, but I don't know why vampires, for some reason, never really
scared. See, you know what it is? What it was for me was, like, I grew up with classic monster movies.
Yeah.
With, you know, and they did not mm-hmm. scare me. They were spooky and I loved mm-hmm. them. And, you know,
yeah.
Abbott and Costello scary movies. You know, I thought I was prepared for the movie makeup of, you know, that era. You know, when I was growing up, I thought I was prepared for it. You know, like, it's just monsters. I know they're just pretend. But that made an impression. That flaky skin and the blood cracked, you know, the lips that were cracked, blood. Anyway.
Well, I can definitely imagine what you are describing, and it does sound horrifying. So I totally understand where you're coming from. I have to say, though, that something that kept me up, like had a similar, like the Pet Sematary thing was just funny to me after a while because it was just like this moment. It didn't really like, there were so many other things going on that day that I was kind of distracted and the movie didn't really like sink into me like yours did. The thing that, like, honestly upset me when I was a little kid in the 80s was there was an episode of Punky Brewster.
Oh,
and
wow.
I've talked about this report. And I am not kidding. Like, if you look on the internet, it's a thing. And it's weird because it's something that happened to a group of us who were only within, like, 2 years of each other. And you had to be, like, the exact right age to watch that show and then also be young enough to be scared of it. And it's like the show that's like, it's Punky Brewster, obviously. it's this cute little show. It's a little sitcom about a little girl who gets adopted and it's very sweet and she wears colorful things and she's adorable, right?
Except for the Halloween episode, right?
Have y'all, do y'all know what I'm talking about?
I used to love
horrifying.
Punky Brewster.
I know the show, but
I don't
remember this.
Horrifying. You can look it up. I found
episode,
it last year because
yeah.
I think I linked to like another blogger that did an episode about this. She goes,
worldwide, banned in 90 countries. Punky Brewster's Halloween episode.
Oh my gosh. It was horrifying. They went into like this Indian cave. And it was a two-part episode. I'm seriously telling you, I've never even said this scene the second half because the first half freaked me out so much.
Do you think it was because that it was such an innocent like show that it was so different and it's like than the regular, you know, show? So it was just so out of character. Yes. Yeah.
And it was like they were severed heads.
Oh boy.
And so she goes around and all of her friends' heads are being cut off.
Oh my goodness.
And then they're floating towards her, mocking her.
All right, I got to stop the Skype now. I got to go watch this right now and find, you know.
And then the thing that like stuck out the most to me is she's there with her dog, right? Cuz her dog's like in the show with her all the time.
She's
sitting back to back with the dog. And I'm sure that if you watch it right now the special effects are probably horrible, but I was like 8. I was like just a little older than Russell, okay? And I'm watching this, and so she's sitting back to back with her dog because they're both scared. She's scared, and she wants, you know, they're watching each other's backs. And then they pan out, or like they go to a wide shot of her and the dog is now a skeleton.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I'm not kidding. Like, that freaked me out for I don't even know how long. I don't know that I watched another episode of Punky Brewster ever.
We're done.
I was so done. And it's weird because my sister watched that show with me. I don't know if she watched that episode, but she doesn't remember because I think she was too young to remember it.
Yeah.
And then anyone older than me probably would have thought it was stupid, but it was something about like if you were – it's just this shared horrification of us.
Wow.
Of some people who were born like from 75 to 77, and we all got completely messed up by this one episode of Punky Brewster. But look it up after we do this because it's ridiculous. And I was in ever since then, actually, and I guess it's the closest thing to Jen's thing about the vampires is I do have a problem with severed heads. Like, that bothers me. Even
who doesn't?
Even as a bit of a joke. Like,
yeah, who? That's a good point, Jen.
Like, there was an episode of
Angela, obviously, you know,
jokingly done. They do it as a joke, and I just like can't, like I can't.
Yeah, who doesn't have a problem anyway. With severed heads? Yeah, it's.
Well, I know what you mean. Yeah. You know what I mean, though, because like the vampires, no matter how gross they get, for some reason it doesn't bother me that much. But the severed head thing can't do it.
Yeah. So those isn't it in Futurama that don't they have the like celebrities in little jars and like heads floating?
Yeah, I guess that's
animated and it's kind of funny and comedy. So
maybe that's the closest I can do because I do watch Futurama all the time. So maybe that doesn't bother me, but
I can remember a couple of things story wise, you know, are related to things that would freak me out. I didn't do a lot, but I occasionally when I was, I guess, late high school, maybe a little bit in college, I would babysit for some people in our neighborhood for little kids, you know, and it and I don't know what it was, but I have a lot of memories of babysitting at around this time of year. I don't know. I think there's a lot of things that are going on. Parents have to go out and whatever, go to whatever they do at this time of the year, you know, start a school year and stuff. But anyway, I can remember that. I don't know. It was probably not a smart idea, but I was babysitting and watching, like, I think it was Night of the Living Dead. Have either of you seen that? The original black and white one?
I have.
Yeah.
Yes, but it's been a while.
And I can remember watching that, you know, in this like house, all quiet. The kids, you know, were in bed, and I'm watching this stupid thing. And I'm, you know, at that age when you're, it must have been high school, late high school, or something like that. But you sort of are like this not quite adult. You're responsible for these kids, so maybe it makes you feel differently at the time. Mm-hmm. But I swear, every wind, every tree branch on a window, every creak of the house, every time the heat would click on or whatever was going on, every little noise was freaking me out. But I kept watching it. I kept the stupid thing. I was watching it, and I think a little bit of it was one of those, you know, situations of, and I think I had seen it before. I don't think it was the first time I saw the movie. But under those set of circumstances, it just, I think it freaked me out even more than normal. I just was like, and it was also, I said, well, this will keep me awake. I won't fall asleep on the job. That's one good thing about it. But it and I think even like they called, like the phone rang or something like that, and I just like jumped up 10 feet in the air, you know, because I was watching this stupid movie. So but nowadays, I don't know, maybe we've become, at least I feel like I've become a little bit more I guess that stuff doesn't bother me so much, but mm-hmm. it's the now I just don't watch, like we were talking about at the beginning. Now I just don't watch some of this stuff just because I don't find it very interesting or entertaining. You know, it's just kind of like, well, that,
right.
Why do I want to watch that? You know, I there's not a good, you know, old fashioned kind of Vincent Price kind of movie. Like I watched one, I think I covered it on the podcast last year for Halloween. What was it called? House on Haunted Hill, I think, is an old Vincent Price movie really good. It's a good scary. I guess I put it in the category, I call it good scary movie, where it's not gross, it's not dumb.
That's more of a thriller.
It's just fun. Yeah. It's a thriller. It's just, you know, Vincent Price is just great in all those movies that he did like that. And there's weird things going on, but it's also that sort of old style 60s kind of late 50s, 60s kind of movie where they're acting kind of like not like we do now, for example. And everything's like very dramatic. Like, what happened to Bob? I don't know where Bob is. We're in this house. Why can't we find Bob? You know,
it's like, well, and also the further back you go in film,
like,
history,
why don't you just ping him on his cell phone, you know, nowadays or whatever. Send him a text.
The further you go back in films, they did a lot. The acting was more theater like.
Yes. Too. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that's, I don't know. I find that kind of cool though. You talking about that reminds me though, something that did disturbed me from one time to the next was Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
And we could probably do a whole episode on that, but that was...
Oh, yeah, they have some definite...
It's not specifically Halloween related. So.
You're talking
but
about
I
any...
loved the Twilight Zone. It came on right after Star Trek when I was growing up.
I know.
And
I accidentally watch it.
Would watch it. And it was a different kind of scary. It was like a fun scary, you know, like,
It depended on the episode, because what was weird about Twilight Zone is that there was nothing like, if you said, okay, well, this was the story, there was not always anything that scary necessarily. It was just
freaky.
Yeah.
Like there's a couple of them that I remember, like the kid with the cornfield.
Oh, yeah.
He would make people disappear into the cornfield.
Yeah, that was Billy Mumy from Lost in Space when he was a little younger even. Yeah, I'll make you
Aaron
go away.
It reminds me of him sometimes. When he gets into his crappy moods, he's like that kid
William
from that.
Shatner very famously on an episode of...
Oh, he was on a couple of them. Yeah, the one that's really...
The airplane one.
The great, right? the Nightmare. I think it's called Nightmare at 20,000 Feet. That episode is fantastic. And I'll tell you, to this day, every time that I'm flying... And if I'm flying and it's dark, you know, it's in the evening, and every time I look out, if I'm looking out, you know, at the wing of the plane or whatever, I swear to God, I'm still like that pops in my head no matter what. You know, it's just like, especially if there's a flash of light or something like that. It's I've been on a few flights where there was a little bit of stormy weather, and it just
the
plane never scares me, or the flying doesn't scare me. It's what's out on the wing of the plane that scares me from that episode. And it's so goofy when you look at it now a little bit,
the storytelling was smart.
Oh yeah,
that's what I like about it. It was scary, but it was smart. It made you think.
Yep.
And I mean, there was another episode of the Twilight Zone that spooked me too. Is like this guy drive, and it's like from the 60s, not the newer Twilight Zone, but like the 60s, where there was a hitchhiker and a guy kept passing him up. Like he'd pass him up, and then a few miles later, there he is again.
Yeah.
And he passes him up, and there he is again. And then he passes him up again. And then finally, he looks in his rearview mirror, and the dude is in his back seat. No, right? I got goosebumps just saying that.
Jen.
So, I mean, I. Those kind of episodes are fun scary. And also, I am a big Edgar Allan Poe fan. Ooh, so anything that comes to up to that level of storytelling to me is fun. I don't want to be scared for the sake of just, you know, being terrified of, you know, blood and guts or whatever. I want a story to challenge me, you know? And one of my favorite Edgar Allan Poe stories is The Telltale Heart. The one where, you know, the knocking on, and then the other one is The Cask of Amontillado, where the guy is just annoyed by this dude's incessant begging to taste his wine. So he takes him down into the wine cellar and he's just like getting him drunk the whole time because he hates this dude. And so he's taking him to like the best cask of wine that he has in his cellar. And the whole time he's letting the guy drink wine all the way. He's drunk and he talks him into getting into this like recess in the wall.
Because, and it's the bricks.
And he bricks him up and he drops a candle in just as he seals up that wall so that it'll suck the air out. And then the guy's banging on the wall when he leaves. I mean, that is spooky storytelling right there.
But see, anyway. Even though I can appreciate that, it creeps me out.
They're great when they have these little twists like that, too. Do you remember the episode of The Twilight Zone where there's a guy who's, I think he's traveling through Europe. It's an American guy. He's traveling through Europe, and I think the episode is called The Howling Man. And he hears these howls, and he's like, it's stormy out, and he finds this, like, it's kind of like a castle kind of a thing. And they take him in, because the weather is really bad out, and he goes in, and there he keeps hearing these howls, okay? And do either of you remember this at all yet, from that description yet?
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
Okay, so...
Please keep going, though.
So basically what happens is, again, he keeps talking about these howls, and the people who take him in, they say, you know, I think they just come up with some excuses. They say, don't pay any attention to that, you know, stay away from the dungeon or whatever, the lower level or something. They warn him to stay away from a certain area, they say. So he keeps, of course, he's trying to sleep and there's these howls and it's very creepy. And he's like, he thinks somebody's being like, you know, hurt or something's going on. So of course, because it's the story, he goes down to investigate and he sees somebody in like sort of a jail cell thing. He sees somebody in there and the guy's pretty charming and he says, oh, you thank you for coming down here. You know, they've locked me away down here. You need to let me go. And then he gets sort of talked into letting the guy out of this this little prison cell. Well, what happens is as he comes out and this goes back to what Angela and I think Jen you said too, but they do this cool little effect where this guy who walks out of the prison cell, basically he passes through or in front of a couple of like pillars, and each time he passes in front of a pillar, his face changes a little, and he slowly basically becomes looking like the devil. He looks like a normal guy. He grows this little beard. He grows horns. And then he starts laughing and everything like that. And then these other, they're monks or something like that. They come racing down there and they're like, what did you do? What did you do? And he says, oh, he looked like he was in pain or I had to let him out of the cell. And then you've let the devil loose. And basically the premise of it is that each time something terrible happens in the world, the devil is let loose, you know, again into the world, like just before World War II or something like that. And then these people, these monks or whatever, have the ability to somehow recapture him. They kind of clamp him down in this prison again, and then that settles things down, and then the whole cycle starts over again. And I'm not doing it justice, but it's a great episode, really creepy, but it has that neat little twist, like it just looks like some guy that's being, you know, trapped here. His voice and the idea of the devil being able to talk you into doing things. He gets this guy, this naive American guy, to release him. And then, of course, it starts. I think that the premise of this episode is that then starts World War One or Two or whatever time frame it's set in. It's a great episode, and they do a really good job with, you know, some simple effects, and they just keep you, you know, keep you guessing a little bit. And the first time you see it, especially, it's really cool, really good episode. And I love the idea and the premise of it being like there's evil out there in the world, and there's somebody trying to stop it and can close it off for a while, and then some idiot lets them out. Yeah, like, what did you do?
They might need better security. I mean,
right?
Yeah, like put a guard there or whatever. Right there. Yeah. Yeah.
You reminded me, Rico, of a 70s horror movie that I watched that freaked me out too. Mm. And it had like, it was this family in a Winnebago who...
Oh, that's a horror right there.
Goes to a town, and the town is full. And I think they were a cult follower. The whole town was a cult.
There's a lot of cult movies in that time frame, yeah.
Yeah, and the end of the movie, all I remember is like the entire town surrounds the Winnebago.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and it's like a zombie movie, only they're not zombies. They're just cult followers who want to sacrifice. They want human sacrifices. And anyway, The Blob. Talking about the 70s, that movie scared me too. And it's so funny because it's just like Jello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the blob.
And it moves kind of not super fast too. It's like, oh,
right.
Well, I'm just going to go up here on the top of this building and I'm fine, you know, or whatever. You know. Blob can't climb walls or something, or I don't know what he does. Yeah, I remember that. But there's movies have certainly changed for the, you know, the horror and the, you know, the thrill. There aren't as many. I think some of maybe we could talk about a little bit of our favorite. You know, to me, one of my mm-hmm. all-time favorite Halloween movies is the first Halloween movie, the first one with Jamie Lee Curtis, Michael Myers, just because it's like one of John Carpenter's greatest mm-hmm. movies. It's just so clean and so purely done. The music. It's suspenseful. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of like, it's not like there's blood and guts and carnage in it or anything like that. It's just like this unstoppable, kind of like you said, Jen, about the guy in the hitchhiker thing. It mm-hmm. just, this thing, this guy, this boy, or, you know, who he supposedly was a boy. And then when he grew up, he becomes this monster, but he just is unstoppable and keeps coming after, you know, the girl in the movie. And it's just so intense. And I just, that's one I can watch again and again. And it's a fun kind of scary movie where I, mm-hmm. you know, the idea that, and it's so, the other thing about that movie that I like so much is there are so many influences on other movies after that. The idea of basically you shoot this, you know, bad guy and he gets back up again. You know, that really hadn't been done, that kind of basic thing. And just the eeriness of it and just this crazy guy in a crazy Halloween mask. So what do you each like to watch, you know, for this time of year? Any particular favorites?
Go ahead, Jen.
I have a couple. Misery.
Oh, I have not ever been able to watch that whole thing. It always, I have this, I don't know, I think I have an innate fear of like losing limbs or something.
Oh, yeah. I went to go see it in the movie, and Kathy Bates is like the best actress in the world. But this, it's just, oh my gosh. And she's not even really a scary person. It's just the way she...
Well, it's Stephen King's writing, and
she's crazy.
Yeah, she's crazy. Yeah. Crazy is scary in itself. You know,
sweet kind of way.
In a sweet way.
Yeah.
Misery. Wow.
And go ahead, Angela.
No, it's okay. I was just gonna put in here. You can cut this out if you want to. But that sweet scary is there's a posit that Professor Umbridge is actually the worst villain in Harry Potter. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
Like, it's worse because that Voldemort is not as scary as Professor Umbridge, because Professor Umbridge is somebody who could really exist.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Anyway, sorry. It's that kind of scary.
Well, a couple of mine are Stephen King. So there's Misery. Oh, and then, did he write Misery?
Mm-hmm.
I think he did. Okay. And then The Shining.
He wrote it after his he had a really bad car accident.
That's right. That's right. I forgot
and
about that.
And I think
that.
It was inspired by like his own...
Being like an invalid yes. for a while in a bed. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, The Shining.
He was run over yeah. or something. Yeah. Yeah. And then The Shining is the other one. And that one freaks me out. Just the twins in the hallway and the little boy on his little big wheeler going down the hall. He turns the corner and there are the twins just standing there. Oh, little kids, ghost kids. Just
ghost kids are funny, ghost though. Kids.
Yeah,
when the kids are the ones like not really getting hurt, it's just creepy.
That's an intense one. I even got Lynn to watch that once, and she pretty much just, I think I have permanent like scars on my hands or arms.
Oh
from
my gosh!
Her grabbing my hand like while we're watching this thing, and it's like, you okay there? Oh yeah, I'm fine. Yeah. I'm fine. She doesn't really like that stuff, but I somehow got her to watch that one. So
one of my favorite lines from that movie is, I mean, Jack Nicholson, I love him, yeah. but he's.
He's kind of crazy on his own.
He's
so
crazy. You know.
He is.
And he has crazy eyes. So he yep. does those characters really well. But he's like going through the wall with his axe. And he's like, don't worry. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm just going to bash your brains in.
Yeah.
That's been my go-to line before when like David and I, when we trade like threats, you know, when we're playing around, I'm like, I'm just going to bash your brains in. That Jaws is not like a spooky movie, but it terrifies me. I hate the ocean. I will not get, I don't
me,
get in
I don't
the
like
water.
The ocean either.
I hate the salt water, but just not knowing what's in the water with you, even in swimming pools sometimes,
I'm just
if I
to
think
ask
about
people,
Jaws.
People though, I I love the ocean and maybe it's because I was exposed to and went in the ocean and all of that before Jaws.
Yeah.
In other words, I don't know if you can separate it, but I always wonder when people say those kinds of things like, oh, I'm scared of the ocean. Well, why are you scared? You either saw a movie or you had a time in the ocean where something bad happened, you know? So mm-hmm. I'm just kind of happy that in a way,
I
yeah.
I'm not scared because of Jaws. I find the ocean, the vastness of the ocean to be overwhelming.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I've heard you say that yeah, before. Yeah. I find it calming. I love it myself.
So does Seth Jen. She loves the ocean.
I'm a land lover.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to.
I like standing on the land looking at the ocean, you know. I like going on it too. I mean, I don't mind going into it, and I've done some stupid things, you know, like I used to travel to Florida a lot for work. And I remember I'm pretty good swimmer. Anyway, I went out. I was getting tired of the usual beach areas where there were a lot of people. I'm like, well, this is kind of lame. So I drove down, you know, the coast, the beach a little bit more and found this little area that no one was really around. And I decided, oh, this is good. I'll go swimming here. And I'm swimming and I'm saying, wow, it's kind of rough around this area. And then I'm swimming for a while and then I get out. Nobody's around. It was a stupidest thing, probably one of the stupidest things I've ever done. Well, then I finally see this sign that's up that's there's a sign that says no swimming, you know, strong undertow or undercurrent or something. I was like, okay, yeah, I'm looking around making sure like nobody's seen me do this idiot thing. And yeah, so then I but no, I don't mind the, although I did get stung by a jellyfish once, so and it was weird because I just thought I like bumped on a piece of like rock or coral or whatever, and it was on the back of my calf. And then like the next day I had this like little red mark, a circle, you know, a pretty perfect circle. And I'm like, oh, I guess I got stung by a jellyfish. And, so anyway, enough about that, but
I understand,
but the,
I do have one more.
Yeah.
One more.
Go ahead.
Well, I already told you how I hate vampires, but for some reason I have this fascination with them still.
Because they talk like this, you know.
I don't know. I enjoy The Lost Boys.
Oh, Lost Boys is awesome.
I love that movie. And
that's
I will watch it.
Because they're the pretty vampires. They're in the start of the era of the pretty. Come on.
But you know what, though?
Corey, this. Corey.
They are pretty and very like Jim Morrison-esque. Mm-hmm. But the very beginning of the movie, they do not. There's a horrifying.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
where they do not like mince words about how it's not like a gorgeous death with just a little bit of a, you know, where they bite the breast and you just see a little bit of blood. They like rip people apart. So it's not like they don't make it look as set, you know. There is a horrifying.
It's not like the old with Frank Langella, that old Dracula movie where he swoops in and you know,
the
girl just kind of swoons and
Now they're feeding on children too, right? But they have a little boy in their pack.
They have a little boy, but he has been bitten, so he could. He hadn't eaten. He hadn't.
Taking blood. Yeah.
Him and Star both have not.
Mm-hmm.
They had become full vampire children. Anyway,
but so what are yours?
I made the mistake of seeing. I'm sorry.
So what scary ones do you like to watch?
Well, I just wanted to real quick to Jen's. I made the mistake of watching. I just was like, I haven't watched that many scary movies, and I rented when I was a freshman in college, and I think I was by myself one evening. This is the stupidest thing. I rented The Exorcist.
Oh,
and The Shining. And
you didn't sleep, did you?
Double whammy.
I did like this, and again, like with somebody who like doesn't like or watch scary movies, but I had heard, you know, I was in theater school and I heard how good these movies were, and I just wanted to watch them.
Yeah, well, they are kind of classics. And so I was like,
it was around, you know, that time, and I was by myself that night for some reason, and I was like, I'm gonna watch these movies, and I was like, oh, that was really dumb.
Which one got to you more, do you think? Which one was harder or scarier? Because The Exorcist, I have a hard time with that movie. The Shining, I can sort of appreciate for different reasons, but the Exorcist kind of freaks me out, I think, even more. But
it really freaks me out, but I have this weird defense mechanism with those kind of movies that have a good amount of special effects where I can kind of divorce myself from the movie.
Yeah.
And look at the special effects, you know? So I don't know, but yes, I mean, both of them obviously, but they're so different types of scary, you know? I don't remember. I mean, it was so long ago, but I just remember like going from nothing to really, really scary stuff. And then I didn't watch anything scary for a really long time after
a decade.
That. Yeah. Well, my favorite kinds of scary movies are either intellectual, like thrillers, like we were talking about, where it's not necessarily gory, but it's like there's some sort of higher meaning, I guess. Mm-hmm. Trying to think of something specific, and my other favorite is if it's pretty and usually set in Victorian time. I love, and for some reason, Johnny Depp, not on purpose, but I like the movie. I like Sleepy Hollow. I really do.
Yeah.
And I like From Hell. Have you seen that?
I have.
About Jack Ripper.
Yes, I
have. It is a gorgeous movie.
That is a good one.
People don't really talk about it that much, and it's Heather Graham, whatever, but it's a really pretty horror movie. And I kind of like Bram Stoker's Dracula. I like this kind of, I think I just like that Victorian setting and I think I like the juxtaposition of this very high society prettiness, the frills and the posture and all that, combined with the base animal evil of the subject matter, I guess. I like that play in the movie.
Have you seen the previews for this one that's out now that just came out?
Yes.
This Crimson Peak.
Yes.
So that falls
That,
I'm tempted.
That goes right into the kind of thing that I would like to watch. So I don't know exactly. That's the closest I've been able to articulate exactly what draws me to movies like that. But I find it very interesting. And I also like that. What is it? The Others. Have you seen that?
Yes. Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman. We should put like a huge spoiler alert on the top of this one for like every single scary thing that's ever been published that people get. But The Others is funny because it's one of those where like once you've seen it, you know, it's not really that scary on a second
because it has a bit of a twist.
Yeah,
because it has.
Yeah,
and because of the kind of twist that it has.
Sure.
But it's interesting though how you can watch it, you see it differently. Just like Sixth Sense. You know, when you watch it again, you're like, oh, obviously, yeah. I am such an idiot. It's like you were telling me this.
But it's not as scary when you watch it again, you know?
Exactly, because the fear, it's the fear of the unknown that it was building off of. And so then once you know that you're in that world, then it's not as big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so weird because really there is no change, but there is a change. It's a philosophical change. So I do like movies like that where it kind of twists itself.
Do you see the Woman in Black, the one with Harry Potter, Daniel Radcliffe from a couple of years ago? Angela?
I haven't yet.
That Victorian era thing to it. I think it falls into your, it sounds like.
I think I probably would like it. And also because I love Daniel Radcliffe because in another dimension, he's my husband. It's true.
It was pretty good. I saw it. And it's also, it's got that sort of suspenseful kind of, cool. You know, a bit like these other movies you're describing. I don't want to say too much, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good.
And I also like horror where there's not a message, I guess, but like something where, I don't know, where it's not just senseless violence, where people learn something or somehow the person who gets hurt, I'm not saying deserves to, but something, you know, that they make a decision that puts them in a situation where they might, does that make sense? Like, I think it's much scarier to me and harder for me to enjoy when there's senseless violence, like against children or against
Well, there anyone. Was a lot of these movies of, you know, like I Know What You Did Last Summer and the Scream movies and those. But
those are fun.
The point of those, though, that I'm trying to get at or what I mean is that there's this little game you can play with some of these movies where it's like, oh, well, that person's being stupid or that person's a jerk, so they're going to die. You know, those kind of categories, you sort of can slowly, oh, he's the hero. He's doing things. He's trying to save people. And sometimes they twist and they change it around where, like, you know, and even I do like it's the Scream films just because they kind of turn it on its head a little bit with, especially with the guy, what's the actor's name? Jamie something or the other. He had a TV show for a while. But then, like, he's like a student of film. So in the movie, he kind of goes through this whole thing like, oh, you know, this is how it works in horror movies. You know, you've got the football jock guy, you've got the girl, you've got the nerdy kid, you've got the this and this happens. And these are the rules of kind of like these kinds of movies. And the same thing,
it's
like
very meta. It's that start of that very self-referential.
Yeah.
Meta type of movie and writing style.
Yep.
Which makes it easier because you can separate yourself from it when something's commenting on itself. You can kind of appreciate it for what it's worth instead of getting too caught up in the, oh my God, everybody's just dying around me type thing.
Exactly. Right. Right.
But I agree. I think that those are good. Those are fun.
Yeah, they are. I even like some of this. They do a sort of some spoofs of those movies too that are kind of funny too. Scary Movie, I think
Scary
it's called.
Scary Movie.
Where they just have, it's just a big joke where the guy calls up the girl. You know, it's just some girl babysitting, and it's like, "Hi, do you like scary movies?" And she's like, "Who is this? I can see you in the house, you know. Is this Bob or Jim or whoever?" You know what I mean? It's like, you know, and he's like, "No, I'm going to kill you." And it's like, come on, this is a joke. And then all of a sudden somebody comes up behind her and kills her. But, you know, exactly. It is meta that they do that. Hey, do you want to shift gears? We're kind of about like an hour-ish in. Do you guys want to talk about, no, it's great. It's fun. I enjoy it. But do you want to, we talked about a few things earlier. We were going to maybe talk about some of our, like, when we were kids,
costumes.
Halloween memories, either costumes
yes.
or,
oh, yeah,
or
yeah.
memories of of a special Halloween. It sounds like one of those Punky Brewster episodes. It's a very special Halloween episode of Punky Brewster. So who wants to go?
No severed heads.
Jen, do you want to start with, like, I don't know, something from
Halloween memories?
Yeah, either current, well, old, when you were growing up.
I'm going to mute for a second, so y'all might want to cut here, but you can go. Okay.
Okay. When I was growing up, I grew up in the country, so we couldn't go trick-or-treating because our nearest neighbor was too far away.
Miles away, you'd have to take the
car. So my mom would pack us into the car and take us to my great aunt's neighborhood in San Antonio, which we lived a lot further south than San Antonio in the country, but San Antonio was the big city for us.
Yeah, getting in the big city now.
And this must have been like maybe 77, 78, 79. And I was probably about, I think in 79, I was probably 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. 5 probably. And I remember I think I was dressed as a Star Wars character. And I don't remember which one it was, but I do remember what every other kid was dressed like. And they scared the hell out of me. Kiss was big back then.
Oh yeah.
Everyone was dressed.
And they look kind of like scary and devilish.
Everyone had platform boots on and like big long jeans. I guess it's jeans, some tongues hanging out of their mouth and freaky makeup. And I had no idea what the heck was going on.
You're just this country girl from South Texas and you didn't even realize or knew what Kiss was or anything.
No.
Probably because you were so young and... Yeah, that's funny.
That makes me laugh.
So, there was that.
Mama, there's devils. There's devils around. Yeah. It's the devil music. Oh, that's funny.
And then I dressed up as a Vulcan in third grade and won a costume contest.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Go figure. And let's see. I always made my own costumes. And one year in college, I dressed up for work because it was like we were handing out candy on Halloween because I had to work on Halloween. And I dressed up as a rodeo cowboy that had been run over by the bronc that I was riding.
Oh, not just a cowboy, but a run over by the bronc.
Yes. We had horses growing up. So I had horseshoes. We had horseshoes. So I got mud on them and I put them all over my back, got trampled. And I was wearing my dad's chaps,
trampled,
and I had
so hard
a number on my back, and it was
off.
All white and everything. I think it was probably the best costume I've pulled off for Halloween in a long time. But
that's great.
That was fun.
That's good. That's good. Angela, you got some? Is she back?
Oh yeah, okay. I'm not sure why my mom let me do this, but she let me dress as Elvira once when I was like 10. It wasn't really Elvira. I wore like a little short skirt, like a short black dress, and I painted.
Black hair and
I just had long. I already had long black hair.
Girl so vampire, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, and I joked about it in our intro, but I went back and forth from like something vampire-ish and witch, like witch or vampire, and then I would be Wonder Woman or Mary Lou Retton.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good range there.
Mary Lou Retton was like huge when I was little. And I think it was when I was 9 or 10 when I was Mary Lou Retton. And my mom made me a Wonder Woman cape. And my cousin, who was just a year younger than me, they made him a cape. And then I had the underoos. I had underoos of Wonder Woman, and then I wore like these tights, like my dance tights underneath it.
Yeah, and that was the greatest thing about kids' stuff is they have those like underoos and t-shirts and a lot of, stuff you can almost just wear that. And okay, here's my costume. Yep, I'm good.
Yeah, exactly. And in the 80s, like you always had to wear a mask for some reason.
Yeah.
Like that was
those
a
stupid
thing.
Little plastic masks. Oh my God.
Plastic masks. Yeah. And there's one of my, there's a picture we went out. Trick-or-treating, and my sister has one of the like a princess dress, and it is not, it's like a piece of plastic with princess stuff drawn on it, and then this really creepy mask. And that's not her fault, that's just what everybody wore. on Halloween. Like, you didn't have a costume. You had, like, this. And it was funny because I like to put costumes on. Like, I made myself, like, in high school, I made myself a gypsy costume. I made myself, you know, certain types of costumes. And
the start of the cosplaying. Yes.
Yes, the start. It was. It was the start of the cosplay.
Yep.
And I guess my first cosplay was Wonder Woman and then Elvira, evidently. The other thing, and this is just like my Halloween memory, is we lived kind of out in the country, not country, but we didn't have a, like, we didn't live in a neighborhood. So my parents would like drive us to my grandmother's, and then she would drive us to my aunt's, and then she would drive us to one of her friends' houses that had, that was in a neighborhood, so we could trick or treat. And my grandmother, who is so great and silly, had this witch mask. If I can get my mom to send me a picture of it, I will try to get it up. It was creepy. It was this mask, and it had this gray and black hair coming off of the mask. And she would dress as a witch and, like, open the door and cackle and, like, do the whole thing. Every year, she, like, wore the same mask. It was so awesome.
That's
great. It was so awesome.
That's great.
And it was just kind of her thing that she was a witch every year. And I just, I don't know, I always thought that was so cool. My mom was the best. And of course, she always gave you like orange for some reason for Halloween. I don't know why you got an orange for Halloween, but she did. And that's kind of how we got like our candy and stuff. And being in theater in college and doing Halloween, obviously was a huge deal. They always had a huge Halloween party. And I admit that there was a couple times in college when I went as the slutty, whatever. I won't lie. That happened. It did. And then also, I guess when I started grad school, I did a party, and that was when I invented the Hung Salem Witch, which is still one of my favorite costumes. We recreated it last couple of years for Halloween for Renaissance Festival, where I did made the costume and then did the noose and then made myself look dead.
Did you have to walk around like with your head kind of twisted off, or, you know, like turned or funny, like the Riker look, you know, with your head kind of cocked at 45 degree head?
I've never done
that. Look at Angela. She's really into character on this one. You know, she's tongue hanging out and whatever.
And that's the thing as a girl, though, for me as a girl, is that when you went out for Halloween, you went out, you know, you were still going out. So you still had to look kind of nice and at the same time look like you're in your costume. And then Stephanie and I, another one that I was like really proud of, we did the end of Practical Magic, which is one of my favorite Halloween not scary movies, with the two sisters. And then at the very, do y'all know Practical Magic at all?
Mm-hmm. The witches or whatever, right? It's been a while.
It's cute. And the sisters, one of them is like a redhead and one of them is dark haired. Nicole Kidman and Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
And they have these really at the very end of the movie, they have these stylized witch outfits and they jump off the roof and it's these big hats and, you know, like striped socks and everything. And so Stephanie and I designed like our own version of that those costumes and wore it out. And I was so proud of those because we like designed and built them from the ground up. And yeah, it looked really good. I still have the hat. And she still wears her hat too. Like, I like really made these costumes. They were not, I did not skimp on it. They have lasted. I think I made them in 2002 and we still wear them. And she still wears her hat every year, I think.
That's great. You should bring them down to Austin for Saturday night.
We have been talking about maybe bringing the hats at least. So anyway, so those are the kind of things that I would do. And I do remember one year, this is such an 80s thing, my sister went as a punk rocker or like a punk star. Not punk, but, you know, it was more like a glam rocker. And she had like this wig that was just a glitter wig. And that was just such a thing in the 80s too, is to, I don't know, go as something like that where you just like a rock star or something. I don't know, I just thought that was kind of a fun Halloween memory for me.
Good. So. Yeah.
What about you?
Well, let's see. For growing up, I can remember a couple things. My mom was pretty good with a sewing machine. She actually, I may have said at some point in time, she actually made my very first Star Trek type costume that, you know, Star Trek uniform.
Cool.
Sewing machine, you know, went and bought fabric, you know, back before, you know, yeah, you could just buy this stuff off the internet for a lot of money or less money or whatever you want. So, but that was a little later. I think that was, I was into high school by then. I think I wore it to the first Star Trek convention I ever went to. Not really Halloween, although I think I did wear it once to high school, which was probably not the best idea.
Because
this
still
is
remember
this
when
is,
they used
this is back
you wear.
You know, yeah, they still do, but at that time, you know, geek. Let's just say geeks were in the closet, you know, pretty much. You know,
we
yeah, you guys know, you know. So, so although our high school was pretty cool, and I had a good group of friends that were into this stuff too, so it wasn't like I. Plus, I've always been pretty tall, so that always helps. That you know, a little less
you get away with whatever.
People, you know, people don't bug you as much when you're 6'4", I guess. So anyway. But then as a kid, I can remember a couple things, especially, I've always loved Batman. And so my mom made me this Batman costume and I just love that thing. I think I wore it like for a month before and after Halloween. I would just play outside with my friends and I'm like, I'm Batman. Although we didn't do the dark voice cause it was back in the, you know, era of fun Batman and, all it really was kind of a little mask that was like dyed, and it wasn't even black. It was sort of this dark, dark blue, maybe almost purplish. Although at night it looked pretty dark. And then I had a little cape that kind of the mask went into the cape. It was just a almost like wearing like a poncho kind of a thing with a hoodie or something. And then just, you know, a dark shirt and dark pants or something like that and a little stuck-on little emblem. But I, you know, it was probably, you know, $5 worth of stuff, but probably one of the most favorite costumes I've ever worn. So, and trick-or-treated in that. And I can remember being a cowboy at least one Halloween, I think, because I've always loved Westerns and cowboy movies and that kind of stuff and horses and... And then a few years we would buy those good old cheapy, crappy costumes from the store, you know, the ones where you get something that you put over your head and those silly little terrible plastic masks, which are just so dangerous and so bad for a little kid to wear outside at night. It's just a crazy idea. And unlike the two of you where you talked about having to get driven, you know, somewhere to trick or treat, I grew up in a pretty regular traditional neighborhood with, you know, a bunch of houses and my friends lived in the neighborhood and we trick or treat, you know, we'd go out and we'd get like, oh my God, so much candy, unbelievable amount of stuff. I mean, I can remember taking like we didn't even have like a little, you know, it wasn't like a little pumpkin bucket. It wasn't like a little bag. It was like a full out, like full size, like pillowcase, filling that thing up with candy, you know, trick or treating. And just so much stuff. And again, probably back before the time where we had all these problems. I know, you know, these days everybody kind of, there's sort of this thing about everybody's afraid of, oh, what's going to be in the candy? Somebody's going to do something, you know, shove something.
Do you know the story about that?
Well, not in particular.
Have you read anything about it? That no one has ever... It's been debunked, and this is the scariest part.
You're saying they've never found anything in Halloween candy anywhere?
They never did.
They have never found, and you know when they have? The parents of the children.
They did it?
Are the ones who put the poison or the razor blade.
To just get on the news or whatever, right? Yeah.
Yeah, basically doing it behind, or doing it like behind the scenes because they've injured their child, and they do it after the fact and say, oh, it wasn't me.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
And basically every report where a child has been injured by quote unquote Halloween candy has all been proven to be done by the parents.
Yeah.
Or the
well,
guardian.
It's when you think about it on the scale of nasty, terrible things to do, it's pretty much way up at the top. I mean, if you ever, if anybody ever were to really do that, like literally grab like a bag of candy bars from the store and shove stuff, pins or things into them. Those people are sick beyond anything.
Right.
but
and also, like, anyway, sorry.
Yeah. So no, that's okay. It's all I was going to say about that is related to the to that with the pile of candy. You know, my brother and I have a brother and a sister. And my sister's younger, brother's a little younger, but my brother and I, he's just a couple years younger than me, Joe and I would go out and we would trick-or-treat, you know, just for forever, for literally hours. And we would each come back with this huge, you know, loot bag and pour it out on our bed. And the reason I brought up the, you know, people putting things in candy is then we would just proceed to start eating all of this candy. And I'm not much... I'll eat some, but I don't have as much of a sweet tooth as I think he does or whatever. But anyway, he would just eat it to the point he would get sick. And I do remember a couple Halloweens the next day. He was, I can't go to school. I don't feel good. You know, but anyway, yeah. So that's, and then, you know, costumes, I guess older stuff. I don't think I really trick-or-treated much or did much Halloween stuff in college that I can recall. I wasn't in theater and, maybe there was a party or two, but it wasn't anything really big. I mean, at least for me, it wasn't, but growing up grade school and a little bit of high school, it was fun. And we had a lot of good times. And for my kids, at least, you know, you guys can talk about it, you know, talk about it too, and tell me about what you've done for, I've seen some of the costumes for your kids, but what I was going to say is, you know, Lynn sews pretty well too. And I think I may have posted a couple pictures occasionally, but when Steven and Eric were young, you know, they got each year, you know, a costume. I can remember one of my favorites for Eric was this little Aladdin. He was Aladdin, and it just, you know, he had the little hat and he had a little, mm-hmm. the little monkey to carry around with him. So that was good stuff. So what about for you, for your kids? What costumes have they liked, or what are they into these days? What are the kids into these days?
Well, the kids and our kids, or my kid, is totally different, because he wanted the Star Wars costumes, and he wants a Hobbit costume for this year, I think, and for next year. And it kind of depends on what they're into, because he wanted Cars for a couple of years when he was really little, and he wanted mm-hmm. Thomas. And the first, you know, when they're real little, you just put him in a little pumpkin outfit. They don't care.
Or yeah.
And oh, yeah. when he was two, we put him in a Yoda costume. So cute. He was so cute. The thing is with Russell is he's realizing that I know how to, I mean, he really knows now that I know how to sew, so he can pretty much ask for anything as long as it's, you know, relatively reasonable. So he has very high expectations
of
anything that I
Angela's going to be sewing him a full out, like, Captain America outfit or something pretty soon, you know, something pretty elaborate.
Maybe, but like, when he wanted to be Anakin, it was like, Anakin, you can go get. So I was like, well, we're going to go get it. I'm not gonna.
Boy, so well, gonna yeah, you can go wheel. Get a lot now too, really.
Yeah.
So.
That's
yeah.
True. So yeah, he likes that. But the other thing is too is that Russell's weird because he doesn't like to trick or treat. Like he likes it, but he doesn't like candy. He doesn't.
Aaron's like that.
Care about
really
candy?
Does. They, neither of them like candy very much, or just most of it, or what do you mean when you
most
say
of it.
Yeah, just they don't. There's just a lot of things in it. Like, nope, don't like that kind of candy. Don't like that kind, and then you end up with like, you know, one thing out of the bag that he likes. Or
well, yeah, either that or we just end up
it's
with
okay, a, Russell. You know, I'll eat like that. I'll eat that. Yeah.
Well, and we don't really keep candy in the house, but. Like, even if we do, no one thinks to eat it because none of us really eat candy. We like baked goods.
Mm-hmm.
We like cookies and cake and pie. So if we want sweets.
Yeah, give me a slab of pie instead of that Milky Way. Yeah.
Well, no, that's really true. That is
well, I'm with you, too. I'm the same way. Occasionally, I'll get a little, you know, taste for like a piece of chocolate, but not rare. I'm not really much into chocolate.
Like a little
even,
bit.
But it's a once every like 6 months kind of kind of a thing. I mean, I'll be like a lot of times if I'm out doing something and I'm like, you know, stop in to get a drink if I'm driving somewhere. Oh, you know what? The candy bar might be kind of fun today. So, but it's I know what you mean. What about for Aaron, Jen?
Aaron is...
Because he's kind of the same, right, on the costumes that I've seen, at least, a little bit. The Star Wars things.
Yeah, well, he has an Ultra Saber like Russell and his mommies, their mommies.
You guys are such good influences on them, yeah. Making him into little geeks.
Yeah, he likes to dress up as a Jedi. That one year we went to San Antonio Comic Con, I think that was his favorite thing. But every time I buy him a costume, I end up, like, we borrow that from Russell. Aaron and Russell are the same height. But every time I purchased a costume for him, I have regretted it because the kid is super sensitive to any little tag or little strings hanging out, and he can't stand to wear it.
Like
he wanted to be Superman. I bought him a Superman costume. He never wore it for more than about 10, like maybe 5 minutes.
Well, those things are kind of, a lot of times, kind of uncomfortable. I mean, they're usually made out of, you know, kind of, you know, let's just say artificial things.
Yeah. Yeah. And he has an Iron Man costume that he liked, that he does wear that. He hasn't worn it in a long time. Maybe he'll be that this year for Halloween.
Well, they're tricky, but, too, at that age. I mean, I don't know with your two boys, but I mean, they, you know, with Russell and Aaron, but I mean, can they wear something like 2 years in a row? They don't do that, right?
Oh, both. Aaron wanted, sometimes he wants to be Iron Man again or, you know, something
like
that.
Will it still fit, though? Does it still fit from?
Probably not. He grew an inch in a month, so.
Yeah, that's the trick. I mean, when they're little, when they're in that age range of, you know, between just like they might have a different like thing they want to wear this year because they got some new movie came out or whatever, but then there's the other factor of they're an inch taller. Yeah.
That was our thing with the Cars situation because he was into Cars for a really long time, and so he was Lightning McQueen, and we already had all the Lightning McQueen stuff. And the kind of thing it was is it just kind of went, it was this little, the way the costume worked, it just kind of went over his shoulders, so it could have fit him 2 years in a row, but just, because the new movie came out, so he didn't want to be Lightning McQueen, he wanted to be Finn McMissile. So we had to go get a Finn McMissile costume because he didn't want to be Lightning McQueen again.
So are they both set for this year? For Halloween for this year?
Yeah, this year we're doing, I think we're doing Anakin again, actually, this year for him. We were talking about maybe bringing him to Con and doing a Hobbit costume, but I think I'm going to do that next year so I have more time to plan. Because he has asked for a very specific Hobbit costume from the middle of Desolation of Smaug, where he's wearing that dwarf coat and the roll pack and all that stuff.
Oh, I was about to say, gosh, I thought he wore pretty much the same thing through the whole, you know, three.
No, there's a very specific movies, after they go to...
Okay.
After they go to Lake Town,
and
they kind of get stripped in between, and then he's wearing like half Hobbit, half dwarf stuff. And I've seen it recreated a couple of times, but when he's watched through the movies and he's asked for that specific
Hobbit costume.
And so, I mean, and I want to make it right for him, so and I'm going to put some big hems in it so I can take it out if he wants to keep it.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, so that's the other thing I can do. But the funny thing last year is when I realized that he knew what I was capable of because I bought him this the Anakin costume, and he was like, so what am I going to be for Halloween? And I'm like, well, I got you this Anakin costume. And he's like, but I wore that to Con.
Oh, I'm boy.
Like, going to be Anakin. for Halloween. Like, he was just like, I can't wear the costume twice in a row.
It's like, my gosh, Mom, you know, come on.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He was that's so yesterday. That's so last week.
Yeah. That's so 2 months ago, Mom.
It's so 2 months ago. It's so prequel. It's so prequel. Come on. I can't do it. I have to be Finn or whatever their names are in, you know, Force Awakens. So how about for...
and that's the thing is by next year, I'm sure he'll... Because he's already looked up all the stuff for Force Awakens and...
you mean the 10 seconds of info that we have so far?
Well, actually... Lego has been doing a
lot
of
that's
stuff.
True. Yeah. Well, you're right. And he gets toys and Legos.
He gets Lego magazine.
Yeah.
So it has like all the new characters that are going to come out.
Does he watch? Does he watch Rebels or does Aaron watch Rebels?
He has decided Rebels is not canon.
Well, call Disney. Yeah.
Jen, were you there when I had that conversation with him?
That's funny. No. That's funny. Did you sit him down and say, well, that's not what Mr. Disney says, but, you know.
Russell would be very happy to talk to them about it. He has, like, decided that it's not actually.
It's not canon. Yeah.
Canon.
Did you watch, though? Did you see into the end of the first season? Because I'm guessing that some of the stuff that happened towards the end of the first season was the problem. Because it's really, until the last few episodes, there's no, like, overlap.
It has something to do with the way. Yeah.
Yeah, they're starting to overlap at this point, right? Yeah, so so there are characters showing up from, like, A New Hope in them, and things. Or from Clone Wars.
I think we can probably get it, because he kind of felt the same way about Clone Wars for a while, and now he's okay watching Clone Wars. So we'll circle back.
Yeah. What's Aaron going to do this year, Jen? What do you have is it going to be a Jedi?
Well, he's expressed to me that he's not sure he wants to go trick-or-treating because every year we go to Angela's neighborhood, and Angela knows which one I'm talking about. There's a guy in a ghillie suit. Freaks the hell out of Aaron.
What is it? What did you call it?
It's a ghillie suit. It's like I don't know what that is. The thing that snipers wear. It's like it looks like camouflage rags, and it covers their entire body.
Oh, okay.
And he wears that as his costume, and he sits out and he hands candy to kids, but he has also spooky noises coming from his house. And
I do like to scare the kids on Halloween. I didn't mention that yet, but I do enjoy that.
We're going to be at con.
Yeah.
That is complicated.
He has just made it up in his mind that he's not really sure that he wants to do that anyway. So, but David's going to be taking care of him, obviously, for that day. And he may be visiting my mom, and niece and nephew will be there, and they'll probably wear costumes. And Aaron's probably going to wear his, I'm probably going to get him a Jedi costume.
They do stuff at school, I'm sure, for both of them too, right?
I don't know about
his school.
They're
not allowed to wear costumes.
Yeah.
Really?
Aaron goes to a private school.
That's kind of un-American. Come on now.
No, they're not. Yeah.
They're not allowed to wear costumes? So they don't do any kind of Halloween festivities, no candy, no nothing, huh, at the school?
Nope.
No,
I mean, I'm sure that they do. I mean, I think they do a little Halloween party.
Because the funny thing about is we were talking about the candy thing. You know, there are a lot of schools here, and I've heard this in other parts of the country too, that actually do things more at the schools now because of the fact people have gotten, whether it's, you know, like you guys had said, but people feel that it's more safe. You know, a lot of schools,
the fall festival, like,
right, or whatever they want to do it. But, you know, they give, you know, they go on the little Halloween-y parade, you know, they walk around the school and give out, you know, each classroom can get a little candy.
There's another thing too, that they've started doing to discourage them from doing. I don't know how they do it at other school districts, but what they started doing here is, they call it Spirit Week, like school Spirit Week. Mm-hmm. And so there's something that you're assigned to do every day. Like Monday, you wear a funny hat.
Yeah.
Tuesday, you wear funny socks. Wednesday, you wear, and then on actual Halloween, you're supposed to wear like your school shirt. So in order to discourage the Halloween costume wearing, they like do these like theme days. That's kind of how they've turned it.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got it. Cool. So what else do we want to talk about besides Halloween? Do we want to switch into talking about convention stuff?
Comic-Con.
Yeah, it's probably time, since we've got about an hour and a half or so we've already talked on this.
It's not It's not that long.
No, it's fine. No, it's good. It's it's good. But here I thought before we start recording, it's like, oh, because I had a couple of other ideas, you know, like I even have on my computer pulled up here a couple of little short stories. I said, oh, I could read a scary story or something. Wow. I always think that before I start a show, and then it's like I look at the time and it's like, oh, we had plenty to talk about. Yeah, so I'm coming down to Austin again. Yay!
Yay!
I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's only less
all
than
all the muggles will be out.
Yeah, at the end of this month, for anybody listening, it's on October 30th and 31st. It'll be mm-hmm. the first time I've ever been to a convention on Halloween. I'm really wondering how that's going to change the costuming dynamic, let's call it.
We did that in 2012, I think, right, mm-hmm. Angela?
Did it fall on Halloween before there? Really?
It wasn't on Halloween, but it was like
close. Really close.
It was like Halloween was on a Monday, so that's the weekend
that
Austin like celebrated.
So were there a bunch of like vampires and mummies running around then? Or did it not
really? No, the con itself wasn't much different.
Okay.
The con itself was exactly like it normally is. But the cool part was when we went out afterwards, everyone's in costume.
Oh.
Not just
people who were at the convention. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yes. So that's kind of it makes it for this giant cool environment, I think. I thought it was really fun.
So we won't sitting at a table in a restaurant or something or going to a place, we won't feel so out of place walking in our Jedi gear or whatever.
No, cuz like, everyone will have like you know, either.
And this time I'm staying at the same hotel as you guys, so I don't have to, like, you know, be the odd man out. And so I can dash up to my room and change if I have to or whatever and that kind of stuff. So, because I'm sort of throwing together some last minute little thing here for maybe Saturday night, sort of more let's just say a more traditional Halloween type of costume. Let's put it that way. Not Star Trek, not Star Wars. So. I was wondering if you guys are you just bringing Star Wars, Star Trek stuff? Is that what the plan is still?
I am.
Okay.
I have no, I mean, yes and yes and no. I don't know.
Yes, no, maybe yes, no.
Jim's uncle came over and I helped him get his costumes together today. And I'm just like,
that's the same one that's been there before, right?
He is. He had a real direction this year because he's doing a, he's going to be a mutant both days.
Cool.
But he's going to be a with the inhibited mutant. There's evidently like a 2-issue X-Men comic where they were all it was an alternate universe and they had the inhibitor collars.
Mhm. Yep, I'm a X-Men
fan. It's in
the
movie, but it's a totally different thing. Like they talk about it in a recent movie, but it's a completely different thing. He found you know, these panels that he texted me pictures of that he wanted the specific look.
Cool.
So
good.
And so we're doing that. I'm excited because it's like, it's a very legit thing to do. And the people that know are going to get it. You know?
Cool. And so Casey will be there. And who else? For sure. Noah.
Mark and Stephanie.
Mark. Is Margaret coming?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Who?
Okay.
Margaret. Mark's wife.
Oh, okay.
And you haven't met Mark yet, so that's cool.
No.
Like Mark.
Mark and you said Stephanie.
Stephanie and Jeff, and I think their daughter. Mm-hmm. Is she coming? Yeah.
So they're in.
Yeah,
good.
I think so. Cool. And then all of the Sith, Jen and John and their kids are coming.
Wow.
And John's coming the second day.
You're going to have a lot. This is more than ever, I think. That's more people than ever before. Yep. Bigger, still, better,
and,
stronger.
I was just looking at the website, and Marina Baccarin canceled.
Oh, again? I think she did that last year.
She did that last year, yeah.
I think she just got pregnant.
Oh. Well,
it says she's quote-unquote filming, but...
Well, she is on that Gotham TV show, but... well, we got Brent Spiner. We got, you know, hey, you know, we're going to have, you know... The boxer guy, Mike Tyson's going to be there. So that makes up for it, right? And Bruce Campbell again.
I'm honestly excited about Jason Isaacs. I like him. And the chick from Halloween Town.
And the
either
chick,
of you guys watch Halloween Town?
It's kind of like, and they introduce her as she comes out. And the chick from Halloween Town. Give it up for the chick from
Kimberly
Halloween.
Brown, and she's so cool. It's this like Disney Channel thing, and I just happened upon it a few years ago, and they
I think I've seen some of it. I think so.
It's
maybe.
Real cute. Yeah. It's real cute. Yeah. But and of course, Brent Spiner is good.
We don't go for the guests mostly anyway. We go to have fun together.
Ooh, and, you know, Chris Sarandon.
We dress up and have fun, so it'll be good.
I kind of like when. I'm excited about there not being guests because I think then we can do more. We can go to more of the more interesting panels where we can like talk back and that kind of stuff instead of just being in a giant room listening to someone
talk. You can make Christopher Judge laugh again. So you know. I'm surprised nobody from make, like Stargate showing up.
What I'm good at is getting celebrities to make fun of me.
Yes, you are good at that. I've seen it in action.
Yeah. Is he? Because he made fun of me, and William Shatner made fun of me. So
your question, you said something about to him last year. Was how was it working with? It was Ronan, right, or whatever with?
Yeah, the guy who played Ronan.
Yeah, the guy that was on Game of Thrones. Why am I blanking out on his name right now? Yeah.
Jason Momoa.
Yeah. He's actually going to be for about I don't know a minute or 10 seconds, something like that. He's going to be Aquaman in the. Mm-hmm. Batman, Superman movie.
I think if anyone can make Aquaman cool, it's him. And then he was like, oh, you just want to hear about Jason, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's what he said. Yeah,
the funny thing is that I do find that dude completely hot.
Yes.
But the thing he's just like absolutely like, yeah. But you're a Stargate fan, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I really was interested in the dynamic because they play similar character types in each show.
Indeed.
You know, being kind of one of the aliens brought into. And so I was just kind of, you know, because they did sparring and stuff. And I don't know. I thought that was a good episode. So
yeah,
like
they both kind of play the muscle guy, you know, a bit.
They do.
And Christopher Judge, I've seen him a couple of times. You know, he's just so funny. He's so. You know, just down to earth and you know, I just like those kinds of people.
Even though I really like him, but also I am always a little, disappointed is not the right word because I know everybody is who they are, but I'm almost a little disappointed that they're not a little bit nerdier. Like I get it, but I kind of want my nerds nerdy. I want my nerd people to be nerdier.
Even the nerd actors, the actors that play the...
movie, that they can't all be nerds, but he was like really concerned about some football game last year, and that's fine because that's who he is, and I'm glad that he was excited about that, and it didn't take away from anything, like because he answered all the questions and he had good stories, but I was just, you know, when I hear Daniel Radcliffe talk like on interviews, I'm like, ah, he's one of our people.
Yeah. Or it's like Felicia Day, or it's like, you know, it's like people in Nathan Fillion's kind of like that too.
Yeah. I mean,
there's
Joss Whedon.
There's when they start saying things like, you know, I grew up watching Star Trek or I grew up reading comics, then boom, you immediately like, oh yeah, you're one of us, one of us, one of us. So
yes.
I know what
like
you mean.
When Wheaton talks about playing NES, you're like, yes, that's yes.
Have you signed up for any photos or anything yet for anybody?
No.
Because I was going to do maybe Marina, but I guess I'm not now. So I tried last year too.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, there's just not anybody.
Summer. I'm trying to think of who else. Maybe Brent. Maybe you should do Brent.
Yeah.
Brent actually, Turner. I was really thinking about doing Bruce Campbell just because I think the guy in every picture he takes, he just is so funny.
Oh, we got such a good one with Jim.
I had this idea that I would do a picture with him in my Jedi gear, but give him like my lightsaber and let him like pretend he was like taking a swing at me or something like that. You know,
that
like,
might be fun.
You know, something he would go for that. You know, just seems like he would go for anything you want to do stuff like that. Other ones are like, okay, stand here, take a picture, you know. But but I think he's, you know, I'm gonna have to if I do decide to do it, I'll also quickly say to him, you know, that I'm from Michigan because he's a Michigan guy. So he's born and raised here. So that's how he got his start, actually, because Sam Raimi, who did the Evil Dead movies and did Spider-Man eventually, he's also from Michigan. So they knew each other growing up and stuff. So. But yeah, Austin, couple weeks.
Ooh.
So, do we want to talk now about setting up, like, are we going to do Star Trek Friday and Star Wars Saturday?
We're doing Star Wars Saturday, and I think Friday is
whatever else you got.
Yeah, so it's like whatever you want to wear. So.
Okay, cool. All right. Yeah. I can handle that.
I think that's what we're doing.
And Noah's going to be there too, I know, right?
Noah's going to be there, and I think he's
you need to dub him the official Anomaly Austin Comic Con cub photographer or something like that, you know, because he did a great job last year. He was like taking pictures all over the place, like a crazy guy. So I was almost going to get a new camera, but I'm like, just can't do it right now. But I
understand.
Well, I started to look at these GoPros for convenience of video and stuff. But here's the thing that I heard and read about them is that they're not great for still pictures, actually.
No.
And I like having the flexibility of having a camera that can do both. In other words, I don't want to carry around like three cameras and a lightsaber and a whatever at the same time. So I have a good all-purpose camera that can do both. So I'll just bring that again. But well, good. Yeah. Cool.
As soon as they publish the programming, I'll start making my matrix for everyone.
Do you think that Ultra Sabers is going to be there again? Do you have
any? Yes.
Yeah.
And I have been bugging them, and I still have not gotten booth placement yet. So
we need to get like a 10% discount from those guys somehow.
No, they're not going to do that.
I know. I'm kidding. Mostly.
They barely gave us a discount because of the 2 days. It's ridiculous. Anyway,
but the
take that out.
Were you talking about the con, or are you talking about Ultra Sabers?
No.
I was talking about Ultra Sabers.
I thought you were talking about the con.
Of all the Ultra Sabers that we keep buying from them. So I was talking about, I wasn't talking about con.
Ultra Sabers actually does give a discount for floor purchases. If you buy from them there, it's less expensive.
They're less expensive.
Yeah, I found that out, when we were there last year, Because I'm trying to decide whether to just get something again, you know. It'll be an excuse to buy another one there rather than try to bring one down.
Well,
I'll have to figure it out.
Jim really wants a double bladed lightsaber.
Oh. So. Moving up to the double bladed,
Well, we kind of already, because we have those two initiate sabers. And so he wants to get a coupler and then just add on to one of those. And then we can have three initiate, and then the coupler will make one of them into a double.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. I'm coming down on Friday and I'll be there by. What time does it? Do you guys know what time it even opens on Friday?
It starts. I actually looked that up recently. It starts at noon on Friday, and it runs till 8:00. And then Saturday is a long day, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m.
I'll be there pretty close to when it opens. I think I get in around 11:00, and then it's about a half hour ride to the hotel. So I'll be pretty close to opening, I think.
I will be very excited when they start doing 3 days again, and the first day is like 3 to 8. That will be.
Wow. Yeah. It might be too far out for them to have told. I don't think they've got something set for next year.
Well, the reason is because of the 2 days. That's why.
But I mean, I'm wondering what they're going to do, what it's going to be, if it'll be back to 3 days in 2016.
I think it is. I think they finally have enough years out where they. Yeah,
they can plan for that and everything.
Because we asked about it at our vendors meeting last year, and they said that this year they had to do 2 days again, but then planning for 16 and 17, that they were going to be back 3 days because it was just running up against some other stuff, and they got in early enough. To the convention.
Was there one in San Antonio this year too, or did they not?
No, they canceled it.
They didn't have one. Okay.
There's a huge one called Alamo Comic-Con, Alamo City Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard of that.
It is a different company, and it does really well, and I think that it was just saturated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't happen to know if there's any other, like, biggie events going on Halloween. Well, it's Halloween weekend, but...
It's Halloween weekend. I don't know what starts there the next day. I mean, it could be... I don't know. It could be a music thing, or it could be, like, a botany show. Who knows?
Botany... It's one or the other. It's botany or music.
Well, we were in downtown San Antonio yesterday, and it was like some kind of tech in a huge convention center, all these people with name tags, and it's like tech in the medical field and you.
It's so funny that that place, I think, is only one convention center, right? So they never have double, like, two events going on. But I've been at a few places, you know, where they'll have, there's a one in, the one I go to in Michigan that's in the springtime here, I think it can handle two different events, I think. Mm-hmm. But it's always funny when you go to a con with all these people in costumes and the next door is some very, you know, sedate, like, you know, get your hospital medical gear here, or you know, new things in dentistry, and and then all these Klingons walking by them, you know. I could do something about those teeth, Mr. Klingon. I will kill you if you touch
my
teeth.
Marketing opportunity.
But I think it's, I've heard that, you know, some of the bigger convention centers, you know, do that because they can split up into a couple, two or three different places. And some of the ones they mix together are sometimes pretty strange, the two shows. So, well, this has been fun. Thanks, you guys, so much for doing this. Halloween. Yeah, I'm scared now. I'm going to go watch some scary stuff, I think. And now I'll just watch the Halloween Charlie Brown Halloween show, because you got to.
I love that
totally
one.
The Great Pumpkin. To talk about that.
You got to watch. Pumpkin. Well, we talked about all the scary stuff, but there's the fun, nice stuff too, like the Great Pumpkin. I mean, every time you drive by pumpkin patches, that's all I think about is the Great Pumpkin is out there. Yeah.
Great Pumpkin.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
on Halloween
it.
Night, the Great Pumpkin rises up. Yeah, it's good.
Out of the pumpkin patch.
Have you guys introduced that to Russell and Aaron?
Yes, I own the DVD. Yep. We watch it.
So do they enjoy the, you know, 1960s Charlie Brown? Do they, is that not, you know?
No, Russell likes it.
Yeah, good.
Aaron does too.
I always wonder if they can, in this era, you know, handle some of these older things that we all kind of grew up with. And
Russell just doesn't like to watch it on TV because of the commercials. He just like cannot handle commercials.
Yeah, Aaron's spoiled too.
I'm spoiled. I can't handle commercials anymore either. I mean, I you know, click through them on my DVR.
Aaron is actually bewildered. Like, what is, where is, why, what, why, what is my show?
Where is my show? This is unacceptable.
Change it back, mommy. It's on there. Just chill out.
Yeah, I think we're getting to a day and age where everything's going to be like Pepsi Perfect. You know, it'll be, everything will be product placement and built in advertising and shows, because people won't be able to, everybody's clicking through and you know, just getting rid of commercials. So
at the bottom or something. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be, you know, we'll probably all hate it, because it'll probably be even more annoying.
They'll fix it so you can't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, thanks for those listening to this special Halloween show. We appreciate you.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Yeah. This will have to tide you over while we're all in Austin for Halloween.
Yeah, we'll do some reports, hopefully, while we're there.
Oh, we will.
Yeah. Angela's going to bring her Mac. She's going to reboot her Mac, so we'll be good there. And
yeah, so we will record correctly.
Yeah, yes. I'll bring the gear, and everyone will have lots of gear around. Right. I'm sure plenty of stuff. And I really hope we see those Circle Cam people again someday. I don't know if we will ever, but...
That would be cool. I think they were going to be there.
That would be great. I would love it if we could, if they were there again, and we could all, you know, since there's going to be even more of us, get it cram into that camera thing again. Mm-hmm. That would be fun. That would be good.
I don't know if we could do much better than those two. I mean, I know we can, but those
they are going to be hard to top.
We did three.
Well, I know. I said we as in all of us. If we as in you and Jen did one more. But I was specifically talking about the two group shots. But the one that you and Jen did was super cool.
Yeah, those are fun. They were really, they're a lot of fun. It's. I hope we do see them there. That'll be good. All right, well, thank you. I'll stop my recording. Say goodbye to everyone listening to Anomaly and Treks and Sci-Fi. Happy Halloween.
Hasta la vista.